is the Rundown from WUFT News. I'm Dana Hill in for Kristen Chermont-Spina. Coming up, have you ever heard the sound of an American bald eagle? Are you sure you have? Coming up, we'll have the story behind their shrinking population in the 60s and 70s and how the University of Florida helped bring those numbers back up to where they are today. And then what much of North Central Florida has been talking about all this week, the new football coach at UF, John Summerall, will sit and talk with our colleague Jeremy St. Louis about who Summerall is and what happens from here. But first, today is a very special day in Gilchrist County. It was founded exactly 100 years ago in 1925. That's after it broke off from Alachua County. We wanted to highlight Gilchrist for an occasional series we've produced called Community Corner, exploring communities in North Central Florida and the Nature Coast. Today, WUFT's Ailey Shane speaks with Bill Martin. He's the vice chair of Gilchrist's Board of County Commissioners.
I love spreading the good news about Gilchrist County. And we have a big tourist industry here where people come in and spend the weekend on the rivers and on the springs, playing in the water, and then they go back home. And that's the best part about it.
When you talk about Gilchrist County, what do you brag about the most?
Well, I brag most because we don't have the traffic and congestion and the hustle and bustle that larger communities have. Plus, we have a community where everybody knows each other and is willing to go out of their way to help each other. My daughter was diagnosed with cancer, and before I could wrap my head around it, there was a fundraiser planned where they raised about $8,000 or $9,000 for her.
Well, let's say hypothetically you have some friends or you have some family coming into town. Where would be the first place you'll take them?
We have 7 or 8, maybe even 9 springs all within the county or the surrounding counties, very close. I mean, we have Poe, which is Alachua County, but Blue, Jenny, there's 3 springs there. And then you've got Manatee, you've got Fannin, you've got... And those are in Levy, but then you've got Bell Springs and Sun Springs and Heart Springs and Otter Springs. And so it's just if you enjoy the water and you enjoy being outdoors, especially in the summer, there's always a place to cool down.
What is one of the most talked about policy issues in Gilchrist County right now?
Well, one of the issues was all the solar farms that were going in, and a lot of people were upset seeing 700-800 acres at a time going into solar farms. Those have slowed down a little bit. Our county enjoys the rural aspect that we live in, and so growth is another thing. They don't want to see a sprawl growth. They want to keep our land available for hunting and for farming and for agriculture and for cattle and hay and watermelons and peanuts and the things around here that we grow. And they would like to see it stay as natural as possible, because with all our springs, we also want a place for rain to fall, hit the ground, and go down into the aquifer to replenish our water supply.
And are there going to be any events that we should kind of keep an eye out for?
One thing that's pretty neat is our 4-H is doing a coin hunt. You know, those coins that you can get, people hand out, those memory coins. They're bigger than a 50-cent piece, and they usually have either a county or someone or an event on them. Well, we have made a coin for Gilchrist County. Every week, they hide 10 of those coins around the county. And in the paper, the Gilchrist Herald, they put clues in there. And you read the clue, and you can figure out where the coin is. And so it's a way to tell people about the history of Gilchrist County and take the kids on a scavenger hunt looking for these coins. And if you find a coin, then it's yours.
That was Bill Martin, the vice chair of the Gilchrist County Commission, speaking with WUFT's Ailey Shanes about the county's 100th birthday today. Incidentally, Gilchrist County is having a block party to celebrate tonight. We even understand that a time capsule will be opened. The party will be held at the Gilchrist County Courthouse from 5 to 7 p.m. Well, this is the rundown from WUFT News, exploring our community from top to bottom. I'm Dana Hill in for Kristen Sherman-Spina. Do you have ideas for this show? Let us know. Email us at therundown@wuft.org or tap the menu of the WUFT mobile app and tap Talk to Us. We may feature your voice right here on the rundown. And if you want to listen to previous episodes, visit wuft.org/therundown or find us wherever you get your podcasts. But first, Florida has a lot of stories to tell. Do you know your community's history? It's time for a trivia question. In 1887, a train bound for Cedar Key caused quite a stir and became something of a local legend. What animal boarded the train? Was it a python, a bear, or a bald eagle? You think you know? Well, stay tuned to the end of the show for the answer. Well, still to come, we tell the story of a local artist who is paying tribute this weekend to the American bald eagle. That is coming up after a short break. This is the Rundown on WUFT News.
Support is provided by Gainesville Fine Arts Association. GFAA Gallery is located at 1314 South Main Street, presenting the 2025 Winter Showcase. On display through December 19th, the Art Walk reception is this Friday from 7 to 10. Local art may be purchased in the gallery and gift shop. Workshop offerings, call to artists, and more at GainesvilleFineArts.org. Funded in part by Visit Gainesville, Alachua County.
To work or to stay at home, that is the question for a whole lot of families in this economy. One household trying to make it work. Next time on Marketplace. This evening at 6 on WUFT 89.1, 90.1.
Support for WUFT comes from the Law Office of Nellinger & Associates, a Gainesville law firm serving North Central Florida for over three decades, offering services in family law, business law, estate planning, and more. Information at lawyergainesville.com.
The First Amendment, protecting the right to free speech and a free press in the U.S., came first for a reason. The founders saw it as a critical protection from the government. It was a bold declaration that set the young republic apart. Today, we ask you to make your own declaration. Stand up for a free press by donating to this NPR station. Thank you.
Take a moment to become a member today. Donate online at WUFT.org.
Well, this is the Rundown. I'm Dana Hill in for Kristen Sherman-Spina. Quick question. Do you know what this sound is? You might not realize it, but that's the sound of a bald eagle. The majestic bird faced hard times in the 1960s and 70s. In fact, it almost went extinct. But a group of researchers in Florida did something amazing and helped bring the eagle back to the South. Our environmental reporter, Rose Schnabel, has the story.
It all started in the 1970s, when the country thought it could lose an icon.
Bald eagles were once abundant throughout most of the continent north of Mexico. But their numbers have been greatly reduced as they have been forced to retreat from advancing civilization to their last refuges in Alaska, Western Canada, and Florida.
The common pesticide DDT was one reason to blame, but there were others. Jack Davis is a University of Florida professor. He wrote A Cultural and Natural History of the Bald Eagle.
They had been devastated by DDT, other chemicals, habitat loss. Florida still retained a fairly healthy population of bald eagles, nesting bald eagles. In particular, in this part of Florida, in the Gainesville, North Central Florida, Gainesville area.
So the region became the South's eagle supplier. Bald eagle restoration in the North moved chicks, known as eaglets. But researchers in Florida moved eggs.
By removing eggs, particularly after they immediately after they were hatched or soon after they were hatched. The female would lay a new set of eggs. And so that would prevent or reduce the chances of the Florida eagles losing any population.
Researchers treated the eggs like gold. The first year, they held incubators in their laps in the back of an RV while taking them to a wildlife center. If an egg cracked, they filled it in with super glue. And it worked really, really well.
Of 275 eggs that were culled from nests in North Central Florida, the hatch rate was 100%.
It was a remarkable success. And now Davis has plans to honor those Florida eagles and eggs that started it all. For that, he recruited John Andrews, a welding artist. I met him and his wife in a neighborhood cafe.
And I'm on the other side of the fence going, bam, 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 bam.
That's how we learned the rules.
Yeah, you can't build a race car in your driveway.
John's creations began as gifts to his wife, Susan. Hot pink Freddy the Flamingo is one of her favorites. From our seats, we can see another one of John's statues, Edward the Eagle. This bird is massive, with its wings spread and talons out. But the eagle he's working on now is going to be much softer.
I wanted this particular statue to portray the domestic life of bald eagles, because that's what this is all about.
The statue will have eagles, eggs, and a nest made of stainless steel branches. The whole eagle is made of stainless steel, too, almost 900 pounds of it. Soup ladles, steel bolts, kitchen strainers, and...
This piece right here at the bottom, just a short little dead stub, that is part of a prosthetic hip.
A prosthetic hip. It all comes together into a cohesive sculpture, honoring the birds themselves.
Well, I see that all of the scientists involved in this restoration program is heroic. I also see the eagles themselves as being the central heroes in this narrative.
The statue will be installed at Orange Lake Overlook, a nature preserve at the border of Alachua and Marion counties. Researchers collected eggs from that property in the 1980s, and there's still a nesting pair there today. Soon, they'll have a new neighbor, an 850-pound homage to the Florida eagles that repopulated the South. Roche Nabel, WUFT News.
Incidentally, that statue that Rose mentioned will be unveiled this Saturday, December 6th, at Orange Lake Overlook. For more details and a sneak peek of the art, you can visit WUFT.org. This is The Rundown from WUFT. I'm Dana Hill in for Kristen Sherman-Spina. I'm joined right now by our editor here at WUFT, David Baraswain.
Hey.
And we wanted to remind you of the importance of local stories, like the one we just heard from our environmental reporter, Rose Schnabel.
Yeah, important because we're in a fundraiser right now. We're in our winter break here at the end of the year. And when I hear a story like this, you know, Dana, you and I talk about this all the time, but it's a sound-rich story. It involves getting out into the community, interviewing. And we have something called the production chain, and it starts with the idea, of course. Booking is a big part, and then we have to do edits and writes and rewrites. And Rose and I edited this story, I think, two or three times together to get it just right. But during a fundraiser like this, we want to remind you that you are really a part of the production chain as well, because your financial dollars allow us to do this, and we do it so well as what you just heard from Rose. These are sound-rich stories that really take a lot of time, energy, and yes, treasure. That's where you come in. And we're asking that you take a moment right now just to give a December gift, because you will be able to hear your investment working for you every single time you listen to WUFT. So take a moment to please give right now at WUFT.org or with a call, 800-338-9838.
We recently sent out a questionnaire and asked our audience, folks just like you, what is it that you want to hear more of on WUFT? And many of you answered more stories about the North Central Florida environment. And Rose Schnabel is so crucial to this effort that we have. And so a story like hers is a great example of the kind of reporting that we can do here at WUFT if we have the resources available. So please give your December gift right now at WUFT.org or by calling toll-free 800-338-9838.
And I like that phrase, you know, giving a December gift. You know, it's what you would do for a friend. And we know that you appreciate WUFT. We know that you trust WUFT. Here you are right now. You're listening to WUFT. And I, like you, probably over the years, when it mattered and when something was going on and it was big, you're right here at WUFT because you know we're going to give you news that's well-researched, well-reported, well-told. And so take a moment right now to please give life to some of the stories that we're trying to tell in our North Central Florida area with a gift at 800-338-9838, just like the story that we've heard there from Rose. Even, you know, today's Gilchrist County's 100th anniversary. We're talking about it just a moment ago. We'll be talking about it on newscasts later this afternoon. And when you step in and help right now, you will be helping us tell great stories. Dana, when I became a sustaining member, I think last December or something like that, I think it took, we timed it just over 2 minutes, or maybe it was 1 minute and 57 seconds to make a gift. It's not a lot of time to do this, and you can play a part. WUFT.org or 800-338-9838.
Well, and you mentioned it, Dave, sustaining gift. When you give right now, please consider making a monthly gift. And here's why. It is easy, perhaps, for many of us to budget smaller monthly installments than it might be to make a single lump sum gift. If you want to make a $120 donation today, right now, just one time, we would be very grateful for it. But someone like myself, I find it a little bit easier to make 12 $10 monthly installments. It allows me to budget a little bit better, and we here at WUFT appreciate the consistency. It's helpful to us, and you can make either a one-time gift or a sustaining donation right now at WUFT.org or toll-free 800-338-9838. And I'm so grateful to you for being here with me, Dave.
Happy to be here.
Well, this is the rundown from WUFT News. I'm Dana Hill and for Kristen Shermont-Spina. As a reminder, our trivia question this week, in 1887, a train bound for Cedar Key caused quite a stir and became something of a local legend. What animal boarded the train? Was it a python, a bear, or a bald eagle? The answer is coming up at the end of the show. We're going to be back after a quick break. Stay with us.
Mark Wolf spent 40 years as a judge on the federal bench. Now he's resigned, calling President Donald Trump, quote, uniquely dangerous.
The Department of Justice is not investigating possible corruption by people who are doing things to profit the president and his family. It's deeply disturbing.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, former federal judge Mark Wolf, on the next On Point. Weeknights at 8 on WUFT.
I'm Juana Summers, and I'm one of the hosts of NPR's All Things Considered weekday afternoons at 4 on WUFT. All Things Considered reports on, well, everything. But how does a story come together? It starts with journalists sharing ideas until we find the right pitch. Then producers make calls, directors make sure mics are working, while hosts read up and prep for interviews. Every step is important, and it all starts with you. If you've never donated, today is a great day to start. Take that step and become a new member. And if you've given before, consider increasing your gift or becoming a sustaining member. Help WUFT make public radio by giving today. Please call 800-338-9838, donate on the WUFT mobile app, or visit WUFT.org. Thanks.
Well, this is the rundown from WUFT. I'm Dana Hill in for Kristen Shermont-Spina. Well, as you may have heard, you've no doubt heard, the University of Florida has a new football coach, John Sumrall. There have been many ins and outs to getting a coach, and one man who has been following this closely is Jeremy St. Louis. He's the host of This Week in Gator Sports on our sister station right across the hall. In fact, WRUF ESPN Gainesville. Jeremy, thanks so much for being here with me.
Happy to be here, Jive Turkey.
So we've all been anticipating a new head coach pick, and many Gators had their hopes up one way or another. What's been the overall reaction to the hiring of John Sumrall among what have been perhaps frustrated Gator football fans?
Yeah, a lot of Gator fans were hoping that Lane Kiffin
Tiffin was going to be the choice by Athletic Director Scott Strickland, but that did not work out, and we heard about 24 hours before the Summerall announcement that Kiffin was not going to be coming to Gainesville, and that basically left us with John Summerall. The reaction at first, anger, frustration, but now it's to the point where it's kind of resignation. This is our guy. We got to get behind him. Gator fans, of course, great with support. And so now it's kind of turning to, all right, let's see what this guy can do.
All right. So Summerall, he gave a press conference earlier this week on Monday. What are some of the takeaways from that press conference?
Look, he won that press conference. So I will definitely say that I was there. There's a lot of passion from Summerall, and he said all the right things. You know, he trumpeted his record with what he's done at Troy, what he's done at Tulane, the fact that he's built rosters very quickly into winning teams. Of course, Tulane's going to be playing in the American Championship tomorrow. He's basically said, look, I'm a winner. I'm here to win. This is a roster that can win. We're going to add to it. And, you know, it was a lot of passion. And he said the Florida job is a dream job for him and that he's not here for the short term. He wants to, you know, emulate what Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer were able to do here.
Okay. So, yeah, saying the right things. But as you mentioned, I mean, his level of success, but it happens at the G5 level. This is the SEC.
Right.
There's different expectations. What are your thoughts on how quickly he can turn things around here? I mean, what are his first steps?
Well, look, 4-8 wasn't the season that Florida wanted, but it wasn't because the roster is bad. It was a number of different things. You can nail it down to coaching. They were the most injured team in the SEC. You know, that could be strength and conditioning. So, look, the talent on this roster is there. It just needs the right person to kind of put it together. And Summerall said it. You know, he was asked about that, and he said, there's talent here, and I think we can probably get this thing righted fairly quickly. He outlined kind of what he wants to do in terms of the way that he wants them to play, stretch the field. They're going to play tough. They're going to have an edge, which is something we haven't seen in a Florida team in a while. And he said he wants his defense to be the most feared defense in all of college football.
All right, so another big change is going to be the hiring of a general manager, one who has NFL experience. So how will this position work alongside the head coach?
Well, that's the interesting thing is that Dave Caldwell's coming in. Of course, he of the Jags and most recently with the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Our understanding is he's going to oversee roster construction, contract management, recruiting, personnel department, football operations. He's going to work with Summerall to create basically a blueprint for recruiting and, of course, player retention, something that's very important, and strategic planning for this team moving forward. So that's kind of what his role is going to look like at this point.
Oh, all right. So there's a lot to look forward to next season, a lot to be excited about. Cross your fingers, Gators fans. Thank you so much, Jeremy. I really appreciate that. That's Jeremy St. Louis. He is the host of This Week in Gator Sports on our sister station right across the hall at WRUF ESPN Gainesville. Well, The Rundown is a production of WUFT News out of the University of Florida College of Journalism and Communications. The team that made this show possible this week includes Dave Baraswain, Krista Jensen, Roche Nabel, Jeremy St. Louis, who we just heard, and Ailey Shanes. Special thanks to the Dean of the College, Hub Brown, and Interim News Director, Ethan Majok. Do you have questions or comments about the show today or ideas for future shows, visit us at therundown@wuft.org. Our trivia question this week was, in 1887, a train bound for Cedar Key caused quite a stir and became something of a local legend. What animal boarded the train? Was it a python, a bear, or a bald eagle? Well, the answer was a bear. That's it for The Rundown. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Kristen Sherman-Spina will be back next week.